Hi, and welcome to One World Pod, broadcast directly from Reflection Island in the virtual world of Second Life. Join our group, One World Many Paths, and participate in online events. Enjoy.
Oh, yes, I was talking about you'll believe it when you see it, and you'll see it when you believe it, okay? Because a lot of people say, I'll believe it when I see it. That's been the manner of speaking for a long time. Then, of course, we had some modern sort of New Age thinking come along and say, well, no, that's wrong. Perceptually, you will see it when you believe it. In other words, when you believe it, that it is possible, and only then will you be able to see what you're trying to manifest. Now, that hasn't always worked for people. It works for some and not for others. One of the reasons is we still come into a sort of a stuck spot when we have perceptions to the contrary, when we have perspective to the contrary. No matter how many times we try to convince ourselves or tell ourselves that we believe something, if we really don't believe it, we know when we're lying to ourselves. You know, we instinctively, and you know, as children, most of us knew when adults were lying to us too. Children are very perceptive. Most of them know and are just get used to the fact that that adults lie. This is probably where we first get the notion that that is how you do it. You go through life lying to yourself and others. White lies, we call them. But we're coming to an age where lies will end. The end of lies is coming up. That's what I'm calling it. The reason I'm calling this age that we're about to go into the end of lies is because as people's perceptual pathways open to things like empathy, telepathy, and other awarenesses like that, people will not be able to lie effectively because everybody will know. And the more people that know when you're lying, the less benefit there's going to be in trying to lie to yourself or to others. We really got to think about this, because we all lie. Even those of us who consider ourselves very truthful, if you're really being truthful with yourself, you realize that you're not always 100% honest. Nor do we encourage 100% honesty because we don't want to hurt people. Or people don't want to be hurt. They don't want to hear something contrary. But the thing is that we are going out of the age when it's going to be an effective strategy. There are already people being born to whom you cannot lie. They know when you're lying. And actually, as children, most of us knew when people were lying. We just got used to it. That's the way the world works. People lie about things. I remember as a child, as I was thinking about this, yes, I did know that. And yet, the way people conduct their lives, it's like learning anything else. We learn how to eat with a fork and a spoon or chopsticks. We learn how to walk, and we learn how to lie. Wait a minute. Yes, we learn how to lie. It doesn't start out that way. When a baby first starts crying, they don't care who else knows it. They're not even thinking that, are they? They're not thinking, oh, this is going to drive my mom nuts. But eventually, as you get older, you do maybe notice that your dad yells at your mom to go in there and shut that kid up, or go in there and take care of that kid, it's driving me crazy, or something to that nature happens. And then all of a sudden, mommy feels she's not doing a good job unless that kid stops crying, right? And then, of course, we are taught things like about Santa Claus, who actually, to tell you the truth, if we really put some energy behind it, we could probably manifest Santa Claus if we really wanted to. If we wanted to do that. But, of course, there is always something inside most of us that really knows something is going on there. This is some kind of thing that adults do, even though we want to believe. It's to our benefit to believe in Santa, by the way, you know, as kids, and the Tooth Fairy and all of that. So, of course, we learn pretty early on that it's usually a good thing to go along with the lies. So, these deceptions, then it's pretty natural, you know, after learning these deceptions, it's pretty natural to go on to social deception and deceiving yourself. I mean, hey! Deception is how everything seems to go, you know. And you just learn that, and it becomes so incorporated in your being that you don't even, after a while, you don't even know when you're lying to yourself and other people. Sometimes you don't even know it. You're just so used to it. You're just so used to telling your friend, no, screaming, bright orange is a wonderful color on you. Because it's their favorite color. Or you get used to telling yourself that you don't hate what you hate, because hate is negative and you're not supposed to hate. Well, if you just feel it momentarily in the moment, you know, this is what we call being in the moment. Yeah, but you don't give a damn. Yeah, Duncan says you may know you're lying, but you don't give a damn. That this is true, too. You might find that you are basically politicians make a job out of this, right? Make a whole life out of this, a whole career. Right? A really good... There are several professions that really, really take advantage of this whole lying business, and there are some that even take advantage of the fact that we lie to ourselves and the lies we tell ourselves, that everybody tells themselves, and others. So it's interesting how with my changing perceptions now, I actually start to feel... When I start to feel certain vibrations, I know I'm lying. So then people say, how do you know when something's the truth and something's not? It's like, we should all be able to tell. We all probably had that from the get-go. As far as I can see, we did. We just lose it. It gets blunted like other things. Now, when I took my friend's head off, it really was a pot ready to boil over, and yet I had violated my own internal rule book. And that was, you don't get mad like that at people and yell at them. And in trying to stifle that, I got a nasty pain in my neck. A pain in the neck, you understand. What does that usually mean? that I had to get rid of. But then when I got rid of it, the whole situation changed. Really. And after I blew up, the whole situation changed. Fortunately, at the same time that I was saying, a bunch of unprintable things, basically, I was also interspersing that with, because we had another friend over who was getting very, very upset that we were yelling at each other, that we were fighting, and I was interspersing that with, it's okay, once we get through this, we're going to be friends again, just, you know, hang loose, take a walk, or do something, but I guess we just have to discuss this. I guess we just have to get this out. Well, see, one of the reasons we stifle things is that exact reaction. One of our friends was there, and he was having a fit. Because now he's reacting to us reacting to each other. And it's very uncomfortable for him. So I think probably, and his thing is he, I guess, had never learned to do what a lot of people do, which is, I think I'll just take a little walk. What he did instead was threaten to, okay, I'm leaving for the day, I'm going. If you don't quit, I'm just leaving, you know, which was throwing his own manipulation into it, basically attempting to manipulate the situation because he wasn't comfortable. And it was really a glaring example to me. Probably if he'd just walked away for a few minutes, gone across the street or out, you know, outside to do something or something, it would have been over much sooner. But on the other hand, you also don't want to deny that feeling either. If something's making you uncomfortable, if people yelling at each other is making you uncomfortable, and it might, I have trouble with it too. I mean, I do have trouble being around people that are yelling at each other. But what I do is I distance myself from it until they're done. Then usually you come back and everything's fine. You know, things are better. I mean, you come back when you can hear the level is down to where you can deal with it. So, but really, I'm not saying deny that you're reacting to this. But, you know, attempting to manipulate it's probably a sort of a deception, too. You're trying to say, hey, I want... You're basically trying to stop this event where people, obviously, you're only going to possibly get them upset with you next. So, you know, we still have a long way to go as a species, learning to deal with something just as basic as our own emotions. How advanced are we? If we can't deal and don't know how to properly handle and use something as basic as our own emotions, we have got to get a handle on this, all of us, because it turns out that our emotions are creating things. Their energy. And Lola makes a point of saying they're indications. And when you feel it, don't worry. You know, she comes down to a point where I'm reading while I was feeling something. And she says, don't be afraid of it. It's only atoms vibrating in your body. Which is what it feels like. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. That's energy. Something's moving in there. That's energy. How many things are we building every day, not realizing that we're building them with these energies? Maybe that's the reason some things are so solid, is because our energy's stuck there. fact, that's part of what I think she's trying to say. The reason things seem so solid and fixed and stuck is because of the stuff we've solidified in us, our feelings about things. Things can shift almost immediately when your perception changes and your feelings about them are different. Whole situations can just disappear and go poof, or come into being. You know, I'm beginning to wonder if the entire physical solid realm is just a whole bunch of perceptions that are stuck. You know, viewpoints that are just kind of stuck. If we totally unstuck everything, would the place disappear? I wonder, you know? Because we already have things being very malleable in this sort of coursework. You find out a lot of things are very malleable. That they're not as solid as they appear. Situations aren't as solid as they appear. Buildings can show up overnight, etc. And they'll seem like they've been there for a long time to everybody else. And we've already discussed this before, and I've run into people that is the way they heal now. The way they heal is literally by changing, they go back and change the past. So a lot of the times, the people that they go back and do this for never know it even happened, aren't even aware that anything happened to them. The ramifications of this are, of course, pretty incredible. Meaning that there are probably a heck of a lot of things happening that we don't know are happening around us all the time. Because people who know this and who can do this are literally changing reality. They're literally time traveling in a way. When you go back and change your own past, or how you felt, when you move these emotions that you stuck in the past, a lot of times you get a rerun. But then when they're gone, they're gone. And in that regard, that is also a way of time traveling into our past. Because we're getting rid of that. If you really, really get rid of that, it's like, it's almost like it never happened at all. You know, it's like these situations never hurt you in the first place. So, you know, we're embarking on a new realm, a whole new realm of being able to perceive and a whole new realm of thought. And all I can say is learning probably not to fear that. Because we create so many things with fear. And learning how to handle that emotion too, basically, probably is one of the big ones.
Thanks for listening. Hope to see you in world and enjoy our website, dragonintuitive.com.